Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther, and on this episode, we're going to look at one of the Center's core parts of its mission. That would be protecting academic freedom. The Center really has three main parts to its mission. First and foremost is scientific research. We do a lot to support scientists who are doing the research that is not only challenging kind of the Darwinian paradigm, but also the experimental research and theoretical research that is building the case for intelligent design. So obviously that's a big part of what we do. Another big part is education and outreach. So we do conferences and seminars and so on, especially aiming at helping to train up the next generation of scientists. And finally, the third kind of core part of our mission is around academic freedom. Obviously, we support academic freedom. Science is supposed to be free. It's supposed to be an unfettered exploration of the evidence and where it leads, trying to look at the world around us and gain some sort of truth and knowledge about that. But all too often, in this day and age, it is politicized. There is a consensus that is built that often doesn't allow for the freedom to follow the evidence where it leads. And in science today, especially in biological related fields, the reigning paradigm is neo-Darwinism, the modern evolutionary version of Charles Darwin's kind of legendary 19th century theory. And questioning that can be dangerous. It can be dangerous for teachers, scientists for sure, politicians, even students can run into trouble if they question that, or if they try to advance another point of view such as intelligent design. So joining us today is someone that regular listeners to the podcast will already know well, Sarah Chaffee. Sarah is Program Officer in Education and Public Policy for Discovery's Center for Science and Culture, and in that capacity, she deals a lot with academic freedom issues. Welcome, Sarah.
Glad to be here.
I'm just going to dive right in, and we'll get right to the heart of this. Why don't you tell us, you know, what is academic freedom, basically, and why does the center advocate for it?
Well, academic freedom is this idea of an open door in the university, in that community. Michael Polanyi said, academic freedom consists in the right to choose one's own problem for investigation, to conduct research free from any outside control, and to teach one's subjects in the light of one's own opinions. It's this idea of an open door and an open mind as we learn. And in the context of the Center for Science and Culture, we advocate for academic freedom because we need this sort of free speech for scientists to be able to ask questions and advance the case for intelligent design. If you're having scientists being shut down in their ability to discuss design, in their ability to pursue design-related questions in the lab, for university professors to be able to bring this up in their classrooms, that really hampers the ability of design to move forward. And it really shows an unhealthy perspective of what science is.
That's interesting. I like how you frame it around the idea of an open door and what you said about scientists being able to choose what it is that they're going to research. Everybody seems to have the general idea that, of course, you can go into science and you know, do the research you want to do, pick the field you want to be in. And to some extent, that's true, but there are a lot of cases where it isn't true and that scientists are shut down in, you know, how they are able to do research or even just, you know, generally ask questions. Isn't that true?
It is true. And that's what we've seen in intelligent design. We've seen a lot of scientists such as Richard Sternberg, Eric Hedin, and others who have faced very negative career repercussions because of their support for intelligent design.
Yeah. And it's interesting that this is outside of the sciences. This is an issue on college campuses right now. If you follow the news at all, of course, you see both students and professors and administrators and things, you know, talking about how discourse happens on campuses. You know, they bring in speakers that are shouted down, and that views are not allowed to be represented in some cases. And it's interesting to me because having worked in the intelligent design field now for a number of years, this was going on for scientists that challenged Darwin long ago. I mean, this is not something new to science and biology and chemistry departments around the country, is it?
No, it's not. And I really think that it's even more counterintuitive in the realm of science than it is overall in the university, because science is all about examining data, asking questions about the natural world. And yet this is the area where you can't ask questions when it comes to evolution. It's a contradiction in many different ways.
Yeah. Maybe you can give us a few examples of some of these things, some more recent examples of academic freedom cases that you've come up against.
Absolutely. So one of the most recent cases is the case of Dr. Günter Beckley, who is a paleoentomologist from Germany, who came out in the past few years as a supporter of intelligent design, faced severe career repercussions, first from his university in Germany, facing a very hostile work environment from which he ultimately resigned. And then more recently, in the past several months, Wikipedia decided to delete its article on him. Now, Dr. Beckley is a very distinguished scientist. He has over around 160 described species. So the fact that anonymous editors on Wikipedia are just able to decide that he's no longer worthy of mention really shows that this is a controversial issue, and coming out in favor of design has severe repercussions on one's reputation.
It's quite interesting that it's the suppression of his views, and not just his views, but the work he's done. So his Wikipedia page, which, you know, highlighted the research he'd done and all these species he discovered, and I think they even named some after him, it's just deleted as if that was never done, never existed, never happened.
Right. You know, it's a negative case, but I think that despite negative cases like that, we are actually seeing progress towards an environment, hopefully, of more freedom. And there's a couple reasons why I think that. The first is that there's more progress in the society at large towards academic freedom. So in 2017, a Princeton and a Harvard professor on two different sides of the aisle came together and wrote a statement in support of academic freedom, which they posted on the web and many, many people have signed, including many in academia. And we've seen constantly in the news just different cases highlighted about academic freedom. And the second part of that is that science seems to be recognizing more and more that there are issues with evolution. So as those two problems converge, you know, the Royal Society talking in 2016 about needing to find a new way forward on evolution, that opens some doors for intelligent design. And I think we've seen a little bit of these stirrings towards possibly more freedom in science in the educational sphere. Last year, Alabama passed a resolution that would encourage teachers to teach the scientific controversy over evolution. Indiana's Senate also passed that resolution. And so we see that there is definitely some progress towards opening the door to more objective science.
Right. And in addition to those resolutions, even previous to that, I think there have been some states, Louisiana and others, that have actually enacted some policy guidelines that help to protect certain provide academic freedom for people who want to teach the controversy, teachers that want to raise some of these issues in the classroom.
Right. We saw Louisiana in 2008 passed a law protecting academic freedom for teachers, and Tennessee passed a law in 2012. And actually, Louisiana put its law in the introduction to its science standards last year. Texas also came and recommitted itself to science standards that embrace teaching the controversy over evolution. And I just like to insert a note here. We, in terms of public schools, Discovery Institute does not recommend pushing intelligent design into the classroom, but we do recommend teaching the controversy, which is what all these public school approaches encourage.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we have some resources for people who are interested in that. And it kind of leads to something I was going to ask you about, which is the new website, which is freescience.today. That's where you can find it, freescience.today. It's the Free Science website, and it has lots to do with academic freedom. And I know, Sarah, that you were involved in helping to develop that site. Can you tell us a little bit more about the kind of resources that are available there?
Absolutely. So this site has several things that are pretty helpful. First of all, there are many stories of people who have faced discrimination over objective evolution, over embracing something that's not the traditional Darwinian perspective. So it's a great place to learn about that issue. And the second way that this site really is of help is, you know, if you are facing discrimination, there are resources there for school board members. There are resources there for students, professors that can really show you more about where you can head with this and how to contact us. And I guess the third purpose of the site is to kind of show you what the climate is and where you can get involved. You know, there was a poll taken in 2016 that showed that 88% of Americans believe that scientists who raise scientific criticisms of evolution should have the freedom to make their arguments without being subjected to censorship or discrimination. So there is a lot of public support for this, but there are ways that you can get involved through organizing an event in your community, all the way up to being involved more on the state level. So visit Free Science to get educated and get help. And there's a lot of resources available.
Right. And at the kind of upper level, I guess you mentioned, for people who are dealing with education policy or would like to advocate for better policies, there's actual model legislation there, or a model bill, an example of what people might suggest be brought forward in their community or their state.
Right. There is model legislation that is, you know, a great option for some people. I think that we think that it's something that we kind of have to work up to, right?
Yeah, you don't start at the top.
Right. But there are definitely options for those who have the time and ability to do that.
Well, that's great. The website is Free Science, and it's at freescience.today. You can also find links to it on our website at discovery.org. And I would like to thank Sarah for being with us on this episode of ID the Future to talk about academic freedom.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And one more time, that website is freescience.today, and you can learn more about how you can get involved and help to advance and protect academic freedom in science. For the Center for Science and Culture, I'm Robert Crowther. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.